بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Hazrat Qit ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu says that I was chosen to come as a delegation to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Normally people that are chosen to come in a delegation are clever people, understanding people. In a short while, in a short time, they understand the entire work, the entire operation, what is to be done, what is to be avoided. And really, living in the company of a sheikh, this is what is required. Try and understand what are the likes, what are the dislikes. And very, very swiftly, very rapidly, one progresses. If the mindset is that everything must be adjusted to myself, obviously that's going to be difficult, because there's going to be hundreds of people that are coming, going, coming and going. And to adjust the self to those hundreds of people will be a difficult task. The easier way is those people can adjust themselves, right? What should be done and what should be avoided. What should be done and what should be avoided. So he says we were chosen in that delegation, and come to the residence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we didn't find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was in the house, and her attendants perhaps were with her. So she had served us with some type of khazira. Khazira is like a cereal, how you have halim, all these type of cereals. So she served us with some type of khazira. And thereafter, she sent a tray of khajur, and we ate from that. Mehman, when he comes, a guest, when he comes, then we need to be hospitable. We need to make him feel welcome. We need to make him feel comfortable in that short duration. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَ. The hadith says it very clearly. That the one who believes in Allah Ta'ala in the last day, then let him be respecting, let him honor his guest. In the honoring of the guest, we need to see what makes the guest comfortable, what makes him comfortable. And we have an approach as though we want him to eat. Ibrahim alayhi salam receives some guests, the unfamiliar, the first time that they're coming, and he roasts an entire calf and presents it before them. It was his habit that he wouldn't take meals alone. He will only take off meals if there is someone with him, some guest. And now one day there is no guest, he went looking around, found one person, sat him down. Say Bismillah. No, I don't believe in that. Then get out of the table. The wahi came to Ibrahim alayhi salam that I've been feeding this person for the last 70, 60 years. In spite of him not taking my name. Here you couldn't tolerate this person just for one meal. For the last 60, 70 years, I was feeding him, in spite of him not believing in Allah Ta'ala, in spite of him not being a Muslim, but I've been feeding him. For one meal also, you couldn't tolerate him. You see this understanding of deen. This comes in the association, the company of the mashayikh. They learn it from their elders, and then we need to take it further from there. See what is the mansha. Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullah used to say this repeatedly, so that in a short while you can gain maximum. Very short duration. You have come for a short while, so you are looking now what is desired, what is undesirable, what is desired. Which time he seems to be more focused and which time he doesn't seem to be focused. Hazrat reading namaz, and after the namaz, he'd hardly completed his namaz and one person was there to meet him. obviously is disturbed by some time for zikr, tasbih, etc. You don't even allow me that opportunity. So he wouldn't like this, especially talking after Fajr namaz, even after Fajr, even if it's dini talk, but after Fajr, no. Let the ishraq be over. Unless it's some very desperate thing that you need to be discussing, then you discuss it. Because that's a very, very crucial time. Malaika are coming and going. Malaika are coming and going. And then idhar udhar ki baate, you're discussing after Fajr. Let it be zikr, tilawat, etc. Some other time you can do all these things. So Mawla wouldn't like this. So I feel very hurtful around this time. And more especially on a Friday after Asr. See, these are times duas are getting answered, malaika are coming and going. And you know, these times have to be respected. They have to be honored, have to be valued, have to be appreciated. That where is your mind, where is your focus at that time? So anyway, Aisha radiallahu anha, the respected family of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she was so dear to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because she understood Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As small as she was, as young as she was, but she understood, very wise, very intelligent, extremely intelligent. Just one incident of an intelligence. She must have been hardly 13 years of age. And this incident of ifk, where that false allegation was made against her. So Rasulullah spoke to her, O Aisha, if you have made a mistake, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. I will ask Allah ta'ala's forgiveness on your behalf. Allah ta'ala will forgive you. So as Aisha radiallahu anha, she is small now, 12, 13, that's the age. And she says, I didn't know much of the Quran Sharif as yet. And I look towards my father to give a reply. What can he say in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I look towards my mother. What could she say in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then I had no choice but to speak myself. And I spoke. And I said this much. If I say that I'm guilty, Allah Ta'ala knows that I'm totally innocent, you people won't believe me. See the opening statement. It's filled with intelligence. You just go and analyze this. It's filled with intelligence, wisdom. And if I say that I am not guilty, and Allah Ta'ala knows that I'm innocent, you people aren't going to believe me. You people are going to believe me. If I say I'm guilty, and as Allah Pak knows that I'm totally innocent, you're going to believe me. So I don't find any better verse that applies to me. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ وَلَا مَا تَسِفُونَ. I will make sabr. I won't complain to anybody. I will direct my complaint to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is the best one to ask for assistance. Some ulama have written great sharah, great commentary on just this wording of Aisha radiallahu anha. Intelligence, understanding. Really, this is something that is very valuable, very much appreciated. As Hadisah rahmatullahi used to say, that everybody feels that I blend in with their color. Whereas I have no color. Right? So, and my simile is like different bottles, you know, water that is filled in different bottles. So if it's filled into a blue bottle, it will look blue. Into a black bottle, it will seem to be black. Into a red bottle, it will look red. But I got none of these colors. I don't have any color. What I'm trying to get at, that in the short duration, how much we can gain the maximum. We've come for a short time, and obviously the mashayikh that we refer to, they're not with us all the time. They also live for a short time, but now in the short period that we are around and they are around, how can we gain the maximum? How can we gain the maximum? So for that, these words of Hazrat Jir Hamdai, we can just ring in our minds all the time, dun or dhyan. Focus and attentive. Be focused and be attentive. Nowhere else. Your mind is not going on one end, not on the other end, nothing. Absolute attention, absolute focus. As it Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi was the Mujaddid of the 12th century. Very great work. Very, very great work he's done. You know, he'll make a person a Sahib and Nisbat in less than a month sometimes. 2 months and 1 month and a Sahib and Nisbat is got him. And what it would take a normal person to cover and to achieve in 5 years, he would do it in a month. He was so powerful. But look at his beginning. You know, we look at these mashayikh and we look at the ending, how they ended up. Did you ever study his beginning, how he started off? There was some wedding or something at Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah's residence. And some tents had to go up. And the tent wasn't just going on even. So Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah had just come to study. He was young still at the time. He rolled up his sleeves, he went onto the tree or something, and he got everything even in a few minutes. Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah is Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah's youngest brother. Muziul Quran, he's done the first Urdu translation that is so widely accepted in this day and time. So he saw this Unku ye dhaj, and ye ada pyari ai. He liked this of him. So he requested his elder brother, Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi, if you can surrender Sayyid Sahib to me and the rest of his tarbiyat and his suluk, I will do it. He said, with happiness, do it most gladly. His bear to Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, and Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi is referring him to Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullahi. Yeah, and Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib, when he refers him to his Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullahi, Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi has got no objection. See that? No objection. I came for you, Hazrat. I didn't come for anybody else, I came for you. No. No objection. After some time, Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullahi tells him that you make zikr and complete all your ma'amulat at this spot here. Some masjid it wasn't same. He asked him, complete your ma'amulat and complete it at this spot. Maybe after a month, 2 months or something, and Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib was walking past that way. And he saw it's pouring, not raining, but it's pouring. And this Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib in the rain, comfortably relaxed, calm, composed, and is completing his ma'amulat. Whatever zikr tasbihat. So now, Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib asks him, but you sitting in the rain here and doing all this? He said, Hazrat, aapi ne ye jagah batayi thi. You had indicated this place. You had shown this place. So Hazrat Muhammad Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali comments on this. See, this comment is very great. This is the incident that we hear. Hazrat Muhammad Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he comments on this. He says, do two things. یہ عظمت طریق کی علامت ہے. عظمت طریق کی علامت ہے. This is indicative of one having an esteem, respect for سلوک and طریقت. اور یہ مفتاح ہے کامیابی ہے. And this is the key to success. You've got the عظمت, you have that respect, you hold it in esteem. Because this is now a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to relate with Allah ta'ala. If you want to relate to Allah Ta'ala and you are true about it, then you need to have an azmat for it. You need to have a great esteem and a great respect for it. To the extent that you will respect it, you will find that relationship coming so rapidly. And you take it casually, well, we'll do it or don't do it. One of those things, listen to the talk, don't listen to the talk. Listen to it attentively, don't listen to it attentively. So you're going to benefit accordingly. But you are doing it with total esteem and respect. To the extent of the respect and the confidence that you have, you're going to progress. Whether it was one talk, whether it was 50 talks, but you had that level of esteem, the type of respect you had. So this mansha, this desire, what is the mansha of this mashayikh? That is what is supposed to be achieved in the short duration. And this is what the mashayikh pine over, you know. They pine. This is the obsession that, can you get this mansha? How can you get it? That's the constant concern. The Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, his father was largely responsible for his tarbiyat. Very largely responsible for his tarbiyat. So Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh was about 17, 16 years of age, or maybe 19 years of age. And he wrote a letter to Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh. Right? And Shaykh's father got to know about it, that Shaykh had written a letter to Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh. Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh was of the mashayikh of the time, even the likes of Mawlana Tamim Rahmatullah to go and pay him a visit. So can you imagine now what position he must have had? A buzurg like Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah should go and pay him a visit. So anyway, Hazrat Shaykh Sahib Rahmatullah, he's writing a letter to him. And his father got to know, he told his father, this is what I've done. So now look at the father's response. The father's response is, Acha, abhi tak tera baba zinda hai, aur tune jhanda istiqlal ko buland kar diya. Approximate words. Abhi tak baba zinda hai, aur tune jhanda istiqlal ko buland kar diya. Your father is still around, and you know, from now you are claiming your independence, that I don't need to go through him. I don't need to pass it through him, and I can do things myself. See, even if it may be a small thing, you're teaching, you're doing some work, but you're not absolutely clear about it, then don't you employ your own discretion. You got your elders around, all right, this is what I'm doing in the madrasa, this is what I'm doing in the maktab, this is what I'm doing in tabligh, this is what I'm doing wherever, but now you're finding out, what should I do? One is, no, well, what is it? I must pass everything through that way. I must pass everything through that way to have that type of an attitude. And one is, no, let me go and find out. Today they are around and they will pass on such words of wisdom today. Tomorrow you'll be scratching your head. Hey, I said, I only asked, had I only inquired, I wouldn't have been landed with this problem. But I didn't ask. I considered myself to be independent. So I didn't refer. When I didn't refer, now I'm sitting with humiliation. Hazrat Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah, one malfuz, one statement, says that the one that asks and inquires, for a moment he goes through humiliation. Right? He goes through humiliation, but for a moment he goes through that humiliation. I have to go and ask, I have to go and find out my Islah, or something related to my teaching, some word, so whatever it is, but I need to go and find out, I need to humble myself. So, I have to humble myself, right? He says, for the moment he will humble himself, but for all his life thereafter he'll be in honor and respect. But the person that doesn't ask and find out, for that moment he will be preserving his respect and integrity, but for the rest of his life he'll be suffering in disgrace. But I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or not. I don't know if I should be doing it like this or not. See? It may count as a small thing, but now it's a reflection of the person's mindset. In Deoband, there was a senior buzurg, or senior alim in the madrasa, Mirajul Haqsa, taught in Deoband for a long time, maybe about 40 years from the time of Mawlana Umarji Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, till whilst we were there, he taught. And about the same kitabs he was teaching, Hidayah Akhire, everybody knew him. So one day he came and visited Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he says to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, in talaba ke andar istiqlal, in ki mizaj mein istiqlal nahi. They don't have that independent approach towards things. He is complaining about the students. Well, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh explained, answered him, bas hum to yahi chahte hai ke unke andar istiqlal na rahe. They don't become independent in their approach. As long as they have got their elders around, refer to them. See, the small things, it's making up your temperament, it's making up your mizaj. It takes an entire lifetime. In the past, the mashayikh used to make the muridin, and one murid is going to one area, and he's enough to cover that entire area. Now, he's not enough for himself. For his own Islah, forget the Islah of hundreds of people, for his own Islah is not sufficient. In other words, he's not taking in full. He doesn't understand the mansha. He doesn't understand the desire, the do's, the don'ts, how to do it, how to conduct, how to behave, how to be internally structured, how to be externally structured. He doesn't know it himself. When he doesn't know it himself, then how can he impress others? How can he influence others? So we were speaking about Hazrat Laqit ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu. And he says, we came in this delegation to Medina Munawwara. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha had got her attendants to serve us. Right, we were served. So they gave us a respectable time, alhamdulillah. According to what we can afford, according to how much we can manage, we look after that guest. Hadith says it very clearly that لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبرا. Don't make your homes into a qabristan. The meaning of the hadith is that in the qabristan, you don't go and feed, you don't see people having big dawats and lavish invitations in the qabristan. So don't make your home like a qabristan. Or someone came to your home, so nothing to offer. No colding, no milk. Yes, what you want? You want this? All right. Assalamu alaikum, carry on. So don't make your home like that. A home is not a qabristan. There must be some warmth there, there must be some hospitality, there must be some love you show. The tight-lipped, you know, the tight-lipped attitude, that's not a Muslim attitude. Muslim attitude is respect, muhabbat, it's love, it's hospitality. Anyway, after some time, Rasulullah had walked into the house and we met all that happened. Then, whilst we were there, Rasulullah's shepherd had come in. So he saw that there was a small kid also in that whole flock. So he says, Ma wallatta ya fula. What you have delivered for this goat, what have you done? Is it a male or a female? Bahmatan. Perhaps it's a male or a female, whatever. The word Bahma can be used for both, male or female. They must have understood whatever it was. So then Rasulullah instructed that one goat should be slaughtered. And obviously these people must be served. And then on the side of this mihman, Rasulullah is telling these Sahaba Ikram that have come in the delegation, La tahsaban. Don't think we have done this specially for you. We have a flock of 100. And we don't want that thing to increase. We just want it to remain at this number, 100. It mustn't go beyond that. Someone has to ask us. Yeah? You see that the mansha, that's what you think, the mansha of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we're worried now, but kata pita is all right now, enough now, enough is enough, khalas. But now there's no ceiling to us. And we'll have definitely some type of justification. Sahaba Ikram, that time, Zamana was different. Now we've got a lot of other, you know, masjids and all, other projects. Other projects, madrasa project, this project, this project, we got. So we'll find justification for anything and everything. See that? So what Nabi Sam says, we've got a flock of 100, and we don't want it to exceed this number. So whenever it exceeds this number, then we slaughter one. Bring it back to size. Your body is back to size, is right, isn't it? And it's beyond size, then you want to lose it. So same with wealth. You know, if you look at the properties of wealth and the properties of your health, is about the same. If you've got in excess, you need to offload. Same with wealth also, you've got in excess, you need to offload. Illa man fa'ala kada wa kada wa kada wa kada. That wealth is a destruction, but that person who spends like this and spends like this. In other words, in all avenues, in all good avenues, he's spending. Otherwise, there's no ceiling. Today is one ceiling, tomorrow is another ceiling. One alim, I was looking around the 7th century, you know, around the 7th century. As he started off life, he's earning 20 dirhams. 20 dirhams. And that 20 dirhams is lasting for the year, not month. 20 dirhams is pulling him through the year. And 20 dirhams, if converted into rands, I think maximum will be about 350 rands. Right? About 350 rands. That was the whole year's expense. And then as he progressed and his work started flowing, now his expenses came to about 12,000. Right? As dini work prospers, then Allah Pak gives that type of friends. And that friends thereafter take on the expenses. And the same happened to him as well. So one person commented to him, Hazrat, your expenses have gone so high, you know, from 20 to 12,000. So he says, Alhamdulillah, in my heart, within my heart, I don't have a fear. I don't have a fear within my heart. I lived several years of my life with 20. If I were brought to that original, I won't find a real problem. Because I haven't made my lifestyle lavish. I tried in this 12,000 also, that money must be spent on the mehman, everybody else that's coming in. On my own self, I hardly spend. Everything is spent on the people that are around. So I have to come to the original, it won't be difficult. That Faisal Marhum also said about the same thing. When they said, no, we'll do this. And he was threatened, you know. When he was threatened, so he said, well, we'll light up all our wells. What will you do then? How will you live? We'll live like how our fathers lived. They lived on dates and camel's milk. He said the same thing. We'll light up all the wells, so you're not going to get anything from that, right? So how are you going to live with dates and camel's milk? So that was too much for them. Too much for them. And they got him shot. They got him killed. But when he was martyred, some awliya ikram had seen a dream that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is awaiting him, is making istiqbal of this person. See, these people, many of them, they have done great, great works for the sake of Islam. He is dying and some awliya is seeing that Rasulullah is, someone saw Rasulullah, who are you awaiting, Ya Rasulullah? I am awaiting Faisal. So this lifestyle of ours, as long as we have brought contentment, then it's easy to make the adjustment. But now we have expanded it. We got one dish, so two dish, and two dish to three dish. And this food for supper, and this food for lunch, and I need to have it like this, and I need to have it like that. You don't get it, and you feel totally depressed, you feel totally down. Why? It's an addiction. That food, the type of service, the type of comfort has become an addiction. You've got it, you feel happy. You don't have it, though you're depressed. So you can't work. The more time Sabra Muhammad says, when you're addicted to comforts, then you can't work for deen. Then you can only serve deen if you have that type of addiction. You don't have that addiction, then you can't work. Can't serve. How are you going to serve them? I was seeing on Kitab, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, until his end, what was his bed? It was a base, wooden base, right? It was a wooden base. Alright, a bed, four legs, and a wooden base. On the base, it was just one chatai. Just one chatai. You know, you got this chatai outside the masjid. A straw mat, that was the base. And he used to be lying on that. That was till the end. About the last night, or the night before the last night that he was leaving the world, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha has to nurse Rasulullah Paksam because he's going through a serious phase of illness. And she's asked the neighbors, some light, I don't have any light, I need to nurse Rasulullah Paksam. So you see the type of contentment and the type of satisfaction. No complaint. You never hear in hadith that Aisha complained about this. Hey, you know, what constraints we are going through, that we didn't even have a decent light at that time. Imagine. So we don't get into this addiction. This goodness, and it comes, it doesn't come. Otherwise, remember the words, that you can't be of service to deen. No matter what you try, you addicted yourself to comforts, then you can't. So Rasulullah SAW is making this sahabi, Laqit ibn Sabira, that entire delegation, don't think we are doing this only for you. So I was reflecting over these words. Why did Rasulullah SAW say this? You know, nowadays when we are giving an invitation, so we say, tell someone, you're coming home. So he says, you know, what you got for supper? So now I got some curry and all. So don't worry, when you got something special, then I'll come. And here what he's saying, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling him, don't think that we have done this specially for you. Now, I began to reason, try to work out why did Nabi tell him this. See, people of nobility and people of respect, they don't like to be a burden on someone. They don't want to be the burden. Hey, I'm going to go there now, and they specially slaughtered an animal for me, so I better move away from here quickly, because now they're going to incur themselves into more difficulties. They're going to incur more difficulties for their lives. But if it's a simple thing, Rasulullah has got a massive mission, a mission that must cover the entire universe, right? Entire world. Time very limited, 23 years. 23 years, and the mission is massive. Throughout the globe, your message must carry on. Now that can only happen, when can it happen? It can happen if these Sahaba Kiram that are around Rasulullah SAW, they are receiving full from Rasulullah SAW. Because they're going to pass on the message afterwards. And they can only receive full if their hearts are totally open. But if their hearts are closed now, their hearts are constrained, they can't speak, they can't talk, they're feeling it a burden to remain with Rasulullah SAW, do you think that they can receive the maximum? They can't receive. Their hearts are closed. Their hearts are constrained, they can't speak. And they feel it a burden being in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they can't receive like they ought to receive. So he needs to open their hearts. He needs to open their minds. I don't think we have done it for you. This is a normal thing by us. It's not something that is abnormal. It's a normal thing for us. It's not an abnormal thing. So don't consider this to be a serious thing. Take it in the stride. لَا تَحْسَبًا وَلَا تَحْسَبِينَ. Now look at it. Now that Sahabi's heart opens out. See, you know, I was talking about the outlook. Now this is the important thing. In deen, this is an important thing, that your heart and your outlook of deen must be rectified. Outlook, your understanding. Amal may be a little less, right? But your understanding, your outlook is right. Now, how important this outlook and understanding is, this. Because most of us are all business class, right? We're traveling in the business class. Eh? Literally, we're traveling in the business class, all of us. Because we're living in comfort, luxury. Right? You got a worker in your shop, right? Got two workers working for you. And one worker's mind is, hey, you know, I must try and make this business work for my boss. I must make it work. What I need to do, the loose ends, how to order, where to sell, how to package it, how to talk to the client, where's the problem, and how's the money leaking from the shop here. I need to see that this thing runs very well. He's giving in the hours, but look at his thought, look at his fikr. And there is another staff there. Hey, how can I steal time from here? And how can I make a plan, you know, make excuses, follow excuses, not perform to the expectation of the boss? What can I do for myself? What can I do for myself? Right? The second person is giving full time, 8 hours. This person is giving about 7 hours, 7.5 hours. Who would you prefer to keep in your shop? Obviously the first person, although he's coming short, he's coming a little less for you. But he's got the loyalty for you, he's got the love for you, he's got the respect for you. He's thinking for you. In your absence or your presence, he's thinking for you. And this person here, he's trying to rob you and cheat you. Although he's filling the hours, but he's thinking for himself. He's not for you, he's for himself. So this mashayikh, when you are in the present, you must think, the outlook must be like their outlook. Understanding of deen must be like their understanding. Okay. Hazrat Alamgir rahmatullahi alayhi, he had been fighting against the Mirhatis. Mirhatis is this class that lives in Maharashtra, Bombay, etc. Right? So they call them the Mirhatis. So he'd been fighting against them. And their stocks had already been depleted. All what they stored up in their forts. India had a lot of Rajas. You know, you have Indunas here. They're all small, small Rajas, small, small kingdoms they had. So his stocks had all been depleted. So he consulted with his mother. You see, I explained elders. You got elders that refer to them. Now, they understood the value of an elder. The elder may not be educated, but he's experienced. Right? Even a Hindu understands that I need to consult with my elders. I can't do things independently. Now he's complaining to his mother that all my stocks are all depleted. And an army runs on his stomach. They've got no food. How are they going to work? So he's consulting his mother. Okay, this is the position. What do I do? So his mother tells him, you consult Alamgir. Ma, how can I do such a mad thing, a stupid thing, this man? This man is my opposition. He's thirsty for my life. I must go and consult with him. So look at the mother's reply. This man is a Muslim. And he is a loyal Muslim to his faith. And it is the instruction of his faith, al-mustasharu mu'taman, that the one that is consulted, then he must say what is right, what is best. What he thinks best for himself, he must mention that to the person that is consulting him. You're asking me, then I must tell you what is best. I want to buy that property. I know you got more than me, you'll offer more. But when you want that property, I know it's the right property, then I must tell you, no, this is the right property, you buy it. Although I want it. Either I even say, no, I don't want to answer you. That's also not good thing. Or if you're answering him, then tell him that this is the position of this property, and this is the prospects, this is the viability, this is the feasibility, and it's a worthwhile buy. Al-mustasharu mu'tamanun. Now today, it is such, okay, what is yours is yours, and what is mine's is mine's, and what is yours is also mine's. What is mine's is mine, and what is yours also mine. I can't see myself sharing with anybody. Wealth, property, money, anything may just come, this role. Nabi Sallam's, his whole mizaj was different. Ishfa'u faltujaru. And Nabi Sallam will look for opportunities for others to get sawab also. Forget only doing charitable work. That was a small thing for Rasulullah Sallam. All the money is just going in charity. He will look for occasions for other people to get sawab. Ishfa'u faltujaru. In fact, you make recommendations for others. And you will get the reward. You made the recommendation. You presented it for that person. And you got the reward. So, he says, Nabi Sam says that I can do it myself. I can do these things myself. But I allow you the opportunity to go and make a recommendation. Make a proposal. You made the proposal for him, you got the sawab. Ek bahana hai, it's an excuse for that person to earn the sawab. Otherwise, he could have done it himself. Oh, you want this? Let me do it for you. But now, he went about, so you make a recommendation. You made the recommendation, now he's got it. And he got the sawab. So he made a recommendation for this person buying that property. He bought the property. Now he's secure, he's feeling strong, mashallah. You made the recommendation for me, mashallah, you got the sawab. But now, our side, no, that property must belong to me. I will give the sadaqah. He won't do sadaqah work. He won't do anything. I will do it, everything. I must do it. I got that heart. He doesn't have that heart. Isfa'u faltujaru. See, that's why I say our thinking has to be modified, has to be corrected. And that thinking can only come right with these type of people. Otherwise, the hadith are before us. But how many of us know how to apply the hadith? In the 70s, Hazrat Maulana Ahmadullah was here. Some of us may have attended his bayans. Most of his bayans were in the Grey Street Masjid. Great Sheikh al Hadith from Randir, very great Buzurg Sheikh al Hadith. So these Buzurgs, they explain concept but simple analogies, simple examples, they illustrate it. So he says once, okay, you've got a golden box at home, right? And similarly, you've got a box that's a government postal box. That must be all rotting, and the metal must be all peeling off, and it's rusting away, right? But if you want that letter of yours to be delivered, you can't go and post it into your golden box. We'll have to go and push it into that box that is rotting. It's rusting, it's rotting, it's peeling off. You don't need to go and post it there. Right? So exactly the same. He says, now, in our lavish dawahs and all that, then we'll call all the wealthy, the affluent, the influential, we'll call them, right? And the garibs, now this has become a term now, garibs. Right? So we forget them. Whereas these are the people that will deliver our sawabs in the akhirat. Our sawabs in the akhirat, these are the people who will deliver it. They will take it across. And the wealthy, Allah Pak make maaf, say, Nimak barabar ni hoti. But the ghibo te given. They have some complaints about it. Right? The Nimak wasn't right, this wasn't right, that wasn't not right. And this will, Jazakallah, Jazakallah, Munana, you made our day, man. Who will think of us? There'll be all cheers, they'll be celebrating, they'll say, Jazakallah, whatever they'll say. So these are the people that are posting your sawab right through. But these are the people that we don't consider, we don't regard, no respect. See. So we're talking of this Alamgir Rahmatullahi, and his mother tells him that you see, you go and speak to Alamgir, and he is a man of God, he is a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's loyal to his deen. And his deen requires of him that he must be true to the person that is consulting. No matter who he is, his enemy or whoever, but the man that is consulting, he is asking your advice, that you must be truthful to him. No matter what it is after that. So he shows the flag now, that I want some peace. Because all his talks are finished now, how is he going to feed that army? I want some peace, alright? Negotiations carry on. So all my stocks are finished. What must I do? He's mentioning this to his opponent, to his opposition, the one that is thirsty for his life. So Alamgir Rahmatullahi says to this Mirhat, right? He says, what do? You ask for peace for 10 years, right? We will sign a treaty for peace for 10 years. In that 10 years, you can make all your preparation, intizam, everything, get all your reinforcements, and then come back. Everything is signed, sealed, everything, and everything is back to normal. No fight now for 10 years. Here on the side of Alamgir Rahmatullahi, his people are complaining, "Why you had, man, you had him at the jugular, and then you let go. Akal barabar hai kya? Your brain's right. You had the man right at the jugular. You could have killed him. Finished, you could have walked over. And you just let him go like that. And this business of giving a respite for 10 years, the Sulah and peace treaty for 10 years, where you learned it from?" So Alamgir Rahmatullahi asked him, "Rasul Ibrahim signed the accord of peace on the occasion of Sulah Hudaybiyah for how many years? How many years was it? 10 years. So what's wrong if I did this?" Rasul Ibrahim himself, on the occasion of the Sulah Hudaybiyah, how many years he signed that accord for? For 10 years. What's wrong if I did so? See this outlook and this understanding of deen, how important it is. So this outlook and this understanding comes after time. And it only comes in the words of Hazrat Rahmatullahi, dhun and dhyan. Your mind must be there, focused, attentive all the time. No matter what it is, what's happening, but your mind is there. Mind is there, heart is there, soul is there, all the time it's there. In the words of Azaji Rahmatullahi, your mind and your heart and your soul need to be there. For example, for some reason you have to go back. Can't be at the khank for a long period, right? But your mind must be disciplined and it must be programmed in such a way that if you had wings, you would have gone straight away there. So your mind is all focused in the same direction. You're not looking right, you're not looking left. You're looking onto your focus. Because this relationship is not an ordinary relationship. You want to build up your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a medium that you are using. So if you are true in that relationship, you are true in your purpose, you are true in your objective, in your niyat, then all the time you need to be as focused there. You can't be moving away there. Yeah. Otherwise now, it's a situation where you are earning and you are losing out. You are earning and you are losing out. Filling in the gold coins into your pocket, but you got holes. You're earning, but in a few steps you're losing it out again. You're earning again and you're losing out again. So, kya hasil hua? What have you earned? Anyway, this Sahabi, then his heart is open. Laqit ibn Sabira, his heart is open now. Now he sees Rasulullah SAW is talking with me. And it's such a warm environment. So his heart is open. Now when the person's heart is open, then he will talk everything. Personal, public, private, and things that he wants to conceal. But the man is feeling so welcome, he's feeling so nice, he's feeling so comfortable. So the last problem he's discussing with Rasulullah SAW, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّ لِي إِمْرَأَةً وَفِي لِسَانِهَا شَيْءٌ I got a wife. And she got a bad tongue. You see, it's the first meeting. It's the first meeting, right? And in the first meeting, how protective aren't you? You will just say things, you know, I'll just measure what I need to say, plan it out, work it out, understand the person, all that. Then I'll leak out something, few things I'll leak out. You know? Yeah, in the first meeting, he is so overwhelmed with the love and with the compassion the Bishwasam is showing, that he's asking the most personal things. That I got a wife, but she got a bad tongue. Feel isani ashiyun. So Rasulullah Pasam gives him the answer. Fatallikha idan, then divorce her. Now this is the need for not studying hadith kitabs on your own. Right? Now you look at this hadith kitab straight away and you come across your situation, the wife is got a bad tongue, or someone came and told you, you know, bad wife got a bad tongue, the hadith says divorce her. Now the question is, why did Rasulullah SAW say this much, that go and divorce her? She's got a bad tongue, she's wicked. So switch on that light. Why did Rasulullah SAW instruct him to divorce the wife? Whereas on the other end we hear that he's most compassionate, most loving, right? Bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim. Most compassionate. The Quran Sharif is bearing testimony to it. There can't be any doubt about it. Forget what we read about him. The Quran Sharif is bearing testimony that bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim, most compassionate, most loving. So why did Nabi Sam instruct him that you go and divorce your wife? The simple reason is that al-qadru ba'da zawal, you only appreciate a thing when it's not around. You know, for the last few days there was no rain. So everybody were looking at the heavens, right? And look at the farm areas and what's happening there. Pani ko taras rahe. So when it isn't around, then you are pining for rain. So now the man is put in a position, you understand the situation, you understand the predicament. If your wife is not around you, what will happen to you? You know, you can be strong, Tarzan, everything around. Right? You're so strong and muscular. You're muscular because of your wife that's around. And just move the wife 1 week, 2 weeks. Hey, too much now. I can't manage it. Too much. So your strength and your stature, your personality is because of the wife. And move her around. Just move her and she says, no, I'm taking a break for 4 months. Just want to relax now. I can't stand you too much. I had enough of you now. I just want my, like how they say nowadays, space and time. On my space and time, just move away for 4 months. You will tell her that if that's the case, then I will be in outer space. You can't manage it. You can't manage it. You are what you are because of her. It gives you that strength. It gives you that morale. It gives you that motivation. And you feel now that my life is complete. You feel there's a fulfillment. You feel there's a satisfaction. Otherwise, go and try and sleep in your home. In your own home, right? All the comfort you've got for more than 2 weeks without your wife. Can you do it? Ask any youngster, can you do it? One day, 2 days, all right, I'm tired now, I'll sleep away. Third day, fourth day, is too much, man, too much. You can't manage it. So you are what you are because of her. She's giving you that support, she's giving you that strength, she's giving you that morale. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is talking to an intelligent person, he's talking to a delegation. And this delegation, they'll understand. Ishaare kinaye se baat samajh lete hain. They don't need a lengthy tafsir. They don't need a lengthy explanation. Lengthy explanation we need. Now these are intelligent people. So he came to his defense straight away. Ya Rasulallah, you know what? I got a long-standing relationship with her. Inna li minha suhbatan, Wali minha waladun. I got children. And I got a long standing relationship with her. Or Faiza, isn't it? Now you came to your senses now. What you do? You advise her. When you find her in the right mood, you find everything is carrying on normal, then you advise her. See, you can't advise her at any time and every time. Any time, every time, you know, Mufti Saab said this. They also get fed up. Obviously. That's not the way to do it. Where it suits you, then Mufti Saab said this. It doesn't suit you, then. See, man manipulates. He's a big manipulator. Where it suits you, very conveniently, anybody's name you can bring it. And if it doesn't suit you, then. So you manipulate the situation. So Rasulullah is explaining this, Sahabi Faiza. See, they are talking to people. Jin ke andar koi 420 nahi. They are not deceits. They are not cheats. They are honest people. They are truthful people. Honest people. Loyal to the deen. The Mawla was telling me 2 days now. You get this, even to this day. You get this class of people. Maybe they're hidden. When I was there in the farm, so I told Mawlana that this old man, he's accepted Islam now, 89 years of age. His moustache is a little bit too long. It's overlapping, so ask him to trim his moustache. And I didn't see him directly because I didn't have an acquaintance with the man. More than all, they've got an acquaintance, so they understand each other. He won't feel offended. Islam is not to chase people away, to win them, to draw them. You've got an acquaintance nicely, softly, respectfully, sweetly, compassionately, lovingly. You can call them in. So anyway, Mawla himself couldn't say it perhaps, so he got some youngster to take the machine and trim his moustache and just advise him nicely, encourage him and all that. So now look at the answer of this old man. Look at the answer. Now this is Iman. He's a new Muslim, but look at the loyalty he's got for Allah Ta'ala, for his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we underestimate these people sometimes, black, you know, kya is man. He's accepted Islam, what he is. But look at the answer. The answer is showing that he's giving, shows us his maqam. So he says, Mawla, but you know, you endured me for 1 month. You tolerated me for 1 month. Yeah. Now, why didn't you tell me earlier on that Allah Pak doesn't like this? Allah Ta'ala tolerated this nonsense of mine for 1 month. Why didn't you tell me all these days? Do you see that? See his relationship with Allah Pak. That Allah Pak tolerated me for 1 month. I didn't know about it. But why didn't you tell me before this? You see that iman is sparking off. So they have got this iman. Many of them have got it. But just that we don't realize it, we don't appreciate what they've got. We think about them as new, we think about them as converts, so we disregard them. No, it's not that. Not, you know, there must be a reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to say that Allah Pak guides one person through you is better than red camels. But do you see this, the spark of iman? Not the spark, I would say the inferno of iman that was in him. And now you say to one of us, hey, who are you to tell me now? You think I don't know about Islam? Eh? One word of advice you can't give. What do you think? I don't know about Islam. I'm not a Muslim. Only you know Islam. I don't know about Islam. That is the other response. And this is another response. That response is a reflection of true faith, the true iman. No, you should have told me earlier. Allah Pak, he tolerated me with all this nonsense that I'm doing. It was such a long period. You should have told me earlier about it. What a beautiful answer. You know, it really sends a shiver on your spine. Look at the man's iman. Faizha izan. Then you advise her. Advise her in a nice way, respectful way. How you would like to be approached, then you approach her as well. If someone were to advise you, how would you like to be approached? How would you like to be spoken? So when you like to be spoken in a certain way, then they will also like to be spoken in a certain way. People's commitment to deen is different. Their loyalty to deen is different. Their understanding of deen is different. So slowly, gradually get them. Islam is not to chase away. You don't have an attitude that you chase away anyone from deen. You win them slowly, slowly, according to the commitment, according to the understanding, according to how they will take, you bring them slowly. Otherwise, in the words of Muhammad Ilyas, rahmatullahi, kachche tawe ke upar aata dalna hai. The tawa, you know where you make the roti, it's still not heated and you're putting aata onto it. It's a waste of time, obviously. You need to create the capacity and thereafter put it on. Then show them the ahkam. Create a capacity. Show them, give them targheeb, etc. And then show them the ahkam as well. Now this is an effort. This is a lifelong effort, a whole day's effort. It's not 1-2 days, 1-2 moments that you've advised them, it's a lifelong effort, this. So for izhar izan, then advise her. Then he asks for some further advice. Give him some more advice. See, his heart is opening. Only that person can speak like this whose heart has opened out. And opening the heart takes a lot of struggle, a lot of pain. You know, you're talking of the 7th century when Islam was at its peak in India, like of Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi. There were people in India, I was looking at that tariq, that knew 70,000, 80,000 hadiths with the sanad and everything, za'if and everything, you know, with the shara, with the sanad and jarah, ta'dil, everything. 70,000, 80,000 in India at that time. Can you imagine what type of giants of hadith you had at that time? So one great muhaddis, in his locality, he made an effort and he got everybody to perform namaz. Alhamdulillah, 5 namazis made out everybody's namazi. One person is not making namaz. The concern. He's a muhaddis on one side, he's an expert in hadith, but he's got that fikr, okay, you know, in that whole town, everybody drinking namaz, and this one person not drinking namaz. He's got that fikr. So he approached him nicely, respectfully, gently. You speak to anybody gently, respectfully, understand the person, and you speak to him, inshallah, he'll respond. He'll respond, and respond favorably, but make the proper approach. So he spoke to him nicely. So he says, you see, it's bad for my business. I will lose out my business hours. I'm going to go for namaz and all that. It's going to be bad for my business. Now, if you were one of us, you know, we'd have told him some other styles. You know, you do this, then you get a lot of barakat, everything will work out for you. See, that style. But that buzur can understand, that muhaddis can understand this person here now. Okay, where he's coming from. Now, I need to take him on a different line. And we will say, which is the cheapest way out? Just showing the fazilat that is the cheapest way. No, but nothing better than that, isn't it? Just show him some virtue, that's the cheapest way. Not to say that fazilat is not the right thing. But we don't want to use the right method. We want to use the cheapest method. You know, we're trying to work it out. Here I have to spend money, and here it's free. So let's go with the free route. So that muhaddis, he asks this person here, and how much you lose every day? If you know you're going to come for namaz and all that, then how much are you going to lose? He said, 1 paisa. Now that is the 7th century. Now the paisa, perhaps at the time, 1 paisa must have been about 5 rand or 10 rand, whatever it is. So, all right, I will give you the 10 rands daily. After a couple of months passed, then the muhaddis, he realized that this man was making namaz without wuzu. He said, bhai, abba tara, kya ho gaya? Namaz par rahe bila wuzu ke? So he said, dekho, see, you paid me for 1 job, not for 2 jobs. That's not fair now. You want 2 jobs from me, then pay me double then. Well, that muhaddis also understood now, okay, kis kisam ke aadmi se baat kar raha hu. He had a big laugh about the whole thing. Are they going to say, hey, you kafir hai, mushrik, you know, today this is how we do it, kafir, mushrik. Really quickly with masla, everything. We don't understand people, where they're coming from, their background. So, all right, I'll double it for you. Now, he's such a great muhaddis, such a great faqih, and he said, all right, I'll double it for you. And he really doubled it, true to his word, he doubled it. And after a couple of months passed, he realized, boy, I'm doing this for my own self. I don't need this money. But the realization came after a couple of years. It didn't come straight away. So we're going to be working with people. And we need to understand that the true realization values are going to come after some time. It's not going to come straight away. They will still have some upheavals, some bumps, some rocky ride they're going to have. That old habits are going to die hard. They're going to go back. They'll come back and they're going to go back. So don't become despondent about it. You have a case now, oh, he accepted Islam and he's gone into drinks. He's gone into this. But don't become so despondent that you leave the work. No. It's going to happen. So he's asking for further advice. See, the Sahabi is asking for further advice. See, when you speak to general people, then we give an encouraging method. This zamana, people like this today, you know, no hope for them. Man qala halaka an-nasu fahuwa ahlakuhum. Fahuwa ahlakuhum ya fahuwa ahlakahum. Hadith says that person says everybody's finished now, there's no hope now, finished. So he is the worst of the lot. He is the worst of the lot. Because why is the worst of the lot? For two reasons. For one reason is this, that he has made everybody despondent. He thinks himself to be very pious or whatever, and he's made everybody despondent. So he is the worst of the lot. And the second reason is, فَهُوَ أَهْلَكَهُمْ This person is suffering with self-esteem and pride. That he thinks he's too pious, everybody's sinful, everybody's gunegar. Understand? So this type of statements are very, very dangerous. We don't just make the statements. Think 10 times, 20 times before we open our mouths, talk. What is going to be the short-term result and consequence? What is going to be the long-term consequence? I'm saying these things here, but what's going to be the consequence? How are people going to take it? If you have an encouraging approach, the person will come in gradually. He'll come in gradually. So now this sahabi is asking for further advice. And the Rasulullah tells him, Asbighil wudu. See, primary things. Simple, manageable things. Right? Do your wudu right. Do it complete. Whether it is a cold day, hot day, whatever type of day, but do your wudu right. Do it complete. Hadith also says, Allahumma inni as'aluka tamam al-wudu wa tamam as-salah wa tamam ridwanik wa tamam maghfiratik. Allah Ta'ala, give me a perfect wuzu, a perfect salah. Tamam ridwanik wa tamam maghfiratik, complete pleasure, your complete pleasure and your complete forgiveness. What a comprehensive dua. Tamam al-wudu, tamam as-salah, tamam ridwanik, tamam maghfiratik. If the wuzu is perfect, the namaz will be perfect. If the namaz is right, then you have achieved the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. When you have achieved the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, all your sins have all been washed out. Do you see how it just blends in? So for the namaz to be right, you need to get the wuzu right. In our wuzu generally, we have about 3-4 mistakes generally. One is there is an israf, there is wastage. You look at yourself when you're having a bath, right? See carefully, is more of the water getting onto your body or more of the water falling apart? Is more of the body getting onto your body or more of the body water getting wasted? Similar to wuzu, now you're washing your face and you got the water running. Got the water running and you're washing your face. Now try and work out, if it's at home, then try and work out a tap where you don't have to waste the water. Just with the movement of your thumb perhaps, you can maneuver the tap. Close the tap, you wash your face. Maybe spending hundreds and thousands of rands on one tile. Get it from Italy and get it from here. Can't we just do this? Let it conform more to the hadith. Can't we do that? Just so that we don't make israf. Can't we just do this stuff? Small adjustments. And so much of sawab we adding to our ibadat. So now you're going to add that 500 rand tap, 1000 rand tap, so much of israf. But just for acting on this hadith, if you do it, I say it's worth your while. Where you're wasting thousands and thousands of rand on other things, fuzuliyat, so what's the end in this? Allah Ta'ala.